Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the nation's capital tonight. Welcome to So You Think You Know What Women Want. This month we've been highlighting and talking about domestic violence and abuse. You know, and my co-host is on tonight, Mel.
What's up, man? How you doing? Good to be here as usual. Good to be here.
All right. Good to have you, man. Everyone's in for a fantastic treat this evening. Like I said, we're dealing with domestic violence. It's an issue that is rampant everywhere. It's not always publicized or talked about, but lately it's been a hot topic, especially since the events with Ray Rice and his fiance. But check it out, now wife. That's just, you know, that's deep, you know. I was just talking a little bit just to Mel about that. How do you go from being a fiance to a wife after being beat like that? And then not only that, become the poster child for the guy that whipped you, you know. So right there, you just decided to sign up for a whole lot of lifelong football punches. You know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Another thing I mentioned, Mel and I, we were kicking it about, is that in New York last week, in Brooklyn, there was an alleged suspect, arrested 20-year-old guy, who just happened to beat his girlfriend's son to death. I think that is crazy. That is, my heart just, you know, now we're talking about, did anyone know he was violent? I mean, it's just so many things, you know. But I'm excited. I'm excited about our guest tonight, Queen Afee. Queen Afee is the founder of Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. And I brought in a couple scenarios just to even begin the talk tonight, because we're looking at two different occurrences. Two different males, though, you know. We're looking at a woman, then we're looking at a child. I mean, there's so many things, so many tags. So I'm very excited. We're also going to have, later in the show, the founder of Beautiful You, Yes You, Triana Kelty. She has an awesome story as well. We're going to hear from these ladies tonight. We're opening up the lines tonight. We're going to ask questions. I mean, you can ask questions, call in, and we're going to have a couple breaks tonight. But in just a moment, the next voice you hear when I come back, because I'm Raf, your host, coming at you live from the nation's capital. The next voice you hear when we get back will be that of Queen Afee. Hey, and thank you guys for listening.
Hey, yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
teeth. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. My co-host and I were having a great time in the studio. But anyway, Queen Afee, are you with us? Queen Afee?
Peace and love, everybody. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for saying yes.
Yes, ma'am. I wouldn't have missed it.
All right. So, talk to us a little bit about yourself. Let the audience know a little bit about you.
All right. I am Queen Afee, the founder of Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags organization. as well as I am a victim of domestic violence and an abuser of domestic violence. And what that is I like to put it, I done been, you know, took a couple of hits, and I have given some hits along my relationships with men. And I wanted to start an organization that was a symbol of that. I could have very easily just played the victim role and act like I never did anything to anyone. But it's important that if we're going to end domestic violence, that we must educate victims as well as abusers. So that's how, you know, I brought about Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags Organization.
Great. Wow. Wow. So you're saying that you've been on both ends of this. You were abused, and you were also an abuser.
Yes, ma'am. I've been on both sides of it. And in relationships, of course, with men. But dating back to my household where I grew up at, I was raised by some beautiful, strong women in my family, and the sisters in my family, grandma all the way to my mom, was just not afraid to jack a brother up. So through the course of that, I learned kill or be killed. And I carried that into some of the relationships that I got into, but it didn't show up until my best friend was shot 5 times by her baby father. When he killed her, my abusive side really started to come out, because I said no man will ever do me the way that they did the way her baby father did her. So I went on a quest. I mean, I got really good at chumping men.
Wow. So until that incident, you were, because you said you were also abused. Until that incident, were you encountering some type of abuse as well before your friend was killed?
Until that incident, of course, you know, you get into other relationships and little petty relationships. But one of the tags that really stuck out to me in the beginning was verbal abuse in a lot of, you know, relationships that I would get into, was the verbal abuse piece. And remember now, I was raised by aggressive women, so my demeanor was kind of aggressive. And some of the things that I would say out of my mouth would lead to fights, would lead to that physical abuse tag. And but like I said again, it really didn't amp up for me until my best friend got killed, and then I became the abuser. I became, you know, aggressive, really aggressive in my behavior then. But, yeah, before that, I had some black eyes, you know, been stomped in my head with Timberland boots, been punched in the face. I wear the marks right now of domestic violence. Had a knife put to my throat, you know, threatened that, you know, if you leave me, nobody will ever have you. All of those things I've endured.
Wow. Now, how old were you at the time? So between the time of you becoming an abuser and being abused, like, what was the year? I mean, how long was that? How old were you?
This had to be between the ages of about 14 and 17. So it started kind of young with me. And my best friend was killed at the age, I believe I was like 16 at the time. And then things started to, by the time I got 21, I was really good at being aggressive towards men.
Wow. So now, when you became the abuser, of course there's a turning point, but within that, the time that you were the abuser, how long of a period would you say that was
when I actually became the abuser? How long did that last?
Yeah, how long did that last?
Oh, that lasted a long time. And it led me, you know, to a place where my behavior escalated. I was no longer just smacking my boyfriend. Now I was using weapons on my boyfriend. So,
wow,
it amped up. After a while, I started to get more aggressive to where I was threatening with weapons at this point.
Wow. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Queen of Fee. What's the matter with you? What are you mad at?
You mad at my sweet rat.
Hey yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night makes you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could have killed you when you said your teeth was growing from the
demon. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love.
Welcome back, welcome back. We're live tonight from the nation's capital. We're here tonight with Queen of Fee. She is the founder of Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. Wow. During the break, Mel and I, you know, we were dialoguing, just processing this thing. Mel actually, you know, wanted to talk a little bit, ask some questions for you.
I just wanted to ask you quickly. You spoke earlier about verbal. It started with a verbal abuse. Could you expound on that for us?
Yes, absolutely. Through the organization, when we talk about those tags, of course, one of the number one tags that I like to talk about, and then being a mental health professional and doing my research and stuff, verbal abuse sticks out a lot because there are two, well, it's one of the tags that's really not talked about, and I think it's because America says this is, you know, a country of freedom of speech. We pretty much can say what we want to say to somebody, and we don't really care whether it affects them or not, which I found that has led to a lot of physical abuse with the verbal piece. So most of domestic violence cases start off verbal, and yeah. So we have to be mindful of what we say to people. We have to be mindful of what people are saying to us. And if we're not reading between the lines and critiquing what people are saying to us, it can very well lead us into an abusive relationship. Because remember now, there are some abusers that will come off kind, you know, and gentle and really seem like they care about you. And then there are some abusers, which could be women, men, and teens, by the way. There are some abusers that will come off aggressive and, you know, just immediately aggressive towards you through their verbal piece. So be mindful of the verbal piece when we're in relationships in our life. Now, verbal abuse can show up in three different places, I've noticed. It shows up in the home, it shows up in the spiritual environment, and it shows up in the workplace. So we got to be mindful when we're dealing with verbal abuse, because it is, for my organization, the number one tag that offers a lot of physical and emotional damage to a lot of people.
Well, so how do you recognize verbal abuse, especially when you say in a spiritual place? I would take that to mean church or the synagogue. I mean, How do you relate to that?
Again, people want to link. You'll hear people say, I've been abused spiritually, and I like to use this example.
there's a lot of research that shows spiritual abuse comes from a spiritual environment, okay? It's not necessarily linked to the household. And here's the example that I use. When I was, you know, beating up my baby daddy and I had that gun to his head, I was praying that the gun go off. So you can pray in a, you can pray in an abusive relationship. You can pray to get out that relationship. You could be praying to kill a person, okay? So you can still have a relationship, a spiritual relationship in the domestic household. So spiritual abuse is not necessarily linked to the household. And in spiritual abuse, I mean, in a spiritual place, the mosque and so forth and so on, church, we have those tags again. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse, emotional abuse, that these tags can show up. And people do drive-bys all the time at church or in the mosque or in these different places. So we got to be mindful of what people, again, what people say to us, you know, and especially in a spiritual place, because there's a lot of abusers that will turn that word around on you and make it into something that is not.
Wow. So give us an example of financial abuse.
The financial abuse piece is, I mean, just immaculate, and it's one of the pieces that we don't really talk about. It's a tag that falls under domestic violence. And in that, you will have, I like to call it quick involvement. You will have people, some abusers, women, men, and teens again, that will try to talk. That's that kind voice again, the kind voice talking to you, you know, in certain type of ways, buying you gifts and, you know, fronting all this money up front. But at the end of the day, they could be going through your personal items. You know, identity theft is a part of this piece right here. Going through your personal items, maybe stealing money from you. They may even have talked you out of the money in your bank account. So we have to be very careful when we're talking about financial abuse. We have to secure our items, especially when we're just meeting someone.
Okay. So that's a because, I mean, abuser is just like a child predator. There, you're looking for a certain type. I mean, are there key words? I mean, what is it that, as an abuser,
it's not necessarily some key words because, I mean, we could critique it. So, and I'm saying as an abuser, I know because I did the behavior as an abuser. So abusers critique it in a way where it's fitting for that particular victim, like you're saying. We critique it in a way, so if I got to be settled at the time to try to get this victim to go the way that I want them to go, then I'll do that. If I need to be amped up a bit, you know, to get the victim to go the way I want them to go, then I'll do that. Research says that it should take us 6 months to a year before we have allowed someone in our personal space. So during that time, the abuser can't, you know, hold those tendencies down but for so long. Eventually, as you're dating that person and conversating that person, different behaviors are going to start coming out. Things are not going to be adding up like the abuser may say that they should be. So we got to just take our time when we're getting in relationships. We have to take it very slow with people because we need to see if what they're saying is matching their behavior.
So one thing I say, it's one of my little key lines, tag lines. I always say that your mouth can say anything, but behavior never lies. And, I've been a product of verbal abuse. I suffered verbal abuse. I never really talked about it because, you know, one thing that holds true, especially in the African-American community, we don't talk about it. We don't open up. We don't say that daddy might be smiling with you, but as soon as you leave, he's going to cuss me out. Or we may not say that because he gives money to all the organizations and, you know, he looks a certain way. You don't know that he assaulted me and punched me in my face just the other night. You know what I mean? These are things that have been so plowed under because of secrets and because we're taught, oh, you don't do that. You don't tell family business. You know, people are in their graves right now because of secrets. I had a friend real briefly, well, a childhood friend. We went to school together, and she was being abused. She was in the military, husband in the military, beautiful, one of the prettiest women I've met until I met my wife. But this young girl ended up getting killed because of her abusive husband. And, you know, it was the saddest thing. But, see, I'm from the South originally. Grew up Ward 8, D.C. But my roots are South. And she was from the South. And in the South, you're taught, no, you don't tell. You don't talk about nasty, freaky Uncle Billy. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't talk about your cousin Joanne that might have you doing something that you know is wrong. You know, we're taught that that's just how it is. You be quiet, you know.
I think you're saying that, you know what it's linked back to? What goes on in my house stays in my house. It's linked back to that. And there are so many African-American homes that we've been brought up traditionally with that concept. What goes on in my house, stay in my house. And you're almost threatened and you're beaten and this and that when you go outside the household and tell the information. That's something that we don't do in the African-American community. That is a big no-no, and it has gotten children and young adults abused when we got back in the house. Because you weren't supposed to tell nobody.
Absolutely.
So it's a very dangerous concept that we've been raised up on, and it's not a good one because now we have a whole lot of generations of young African-American children and adults that is still teaching this concept, and they are still being victimized right in the household.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and as a parent, you know, as a mother, how do you protect your child? I mean, you know, like you said, it wears many tags, domestic violence. You know, so you're a 20-year-old girl. You're dating a 20-year-old boy, you know, but you're so broken inside. And could maybe, I don't know, but sometimes it could even be like a history in your own life of abusers. Because I'm speaking directly to this incident that happened in New York last week. And then you have, where you trusted your children to your boyfriend, 20 like you, both of y'all 20, and now your child's dead. And what do you
well,
say?
Well, I think a lot of times what we're doing is, and I've noticed it in women as I work with them, women are very vulnerable in this generation. I don't know who told us as women that we must be married and we cannot stand on our own 2 feet and, you know, women must be married. You know, we can stand on our own 2 feet. We don't have to be so vulnerable and date people that we don't know. We're getting involved too quickly in some of these relationships. We're having children by men too quickly. And it's leading us down a path where our children are being hurt, being abused, being sexually molested, being beat because of our behavior, which is bad, when we let somebody in our household around our young children and we only known them for 30 days.
Come on,
that
now.
Is inappropriate. We are setting our whole house up doing something like that because, as I stated before, research said that it should take 6 months to a year before you start letting somebody in your personal space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to be bringing online into the conversation Triana Kelty. She's the founder of Beautiful You, Yes You. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga? every night make you cry. What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you stayed. What made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
seed. Love is blind, and it'll take.
Hey, we're back live, broadcasting from the nation's capital. We're bringing on Triana Kelty. She's the founder of Beautiful You, Yes You, and we're going to hear from her in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ms. Kelty, are you
here? I am here. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Welcome.
Hello, Queen.
Peace and love.
Hi, how are you? It's a blessing to share.
Good, thank you. Peace and love.
So my story starts starts in California. I was a victim of two parents that were drug addicted. And from that relationship with my parents, I learned at a very young age that abuse equals love. And with that, my parents, I was, you know, raped at 3 years old from my parents' friends, and I was taught that not to say anything, that, you know, this was a norm. And so I also witnessed my father, biological father, beat and abuse my mother. And so I learned at a very young age that abuse equaled love.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Queen of Feet?
Yes, peace and love.
Okay. You of course you know Triana.
Yes, that's my sister.
I love Queen of Feet. Anytime, you know, we need to work together, we come together, we help the youth out, and not only the youth, but the parents as well. So Queen and I actually have a conference coming up, which we'll speak about later. But just to kind of go back on the abuse topic, for me, my abuse was taught. I was taught by my parents at a very young age that abuse equaled love. So in order to love me, you had to abuse me, whether it was rape me, whether it was sexual assault me, whether it was hit me, whether it was whatever it was, that's what I was taught, that abuse equals love. My stepfather actually broke both of my arms, and I saw him verbally and physically abuse my mom. So because I saw those things, I thought, well, okay, in order for someone to love me, they had to hurt me. They had to hit me. And I felt like, okay, well, this is kind of cute. This is, you know, that means that this person cares about me. If they hit me, that means they really love me. They're trying to protect me and all of these other things, I thought, because I dealt with, you know, verbal and physical abuse at a very young age. And even with the physical abuse, I didn't even know it was physical abuse at that time. I just felt like that's just the way they talked to me, whether it was called me names, whether it was called me ugly, or whether it was called me whatever it was, I thought that that was love, and I thought that that was the norm because that's what I saw in my household. And so kind of fast forward, and so now, well, prior to now, I got into a very abusive relationship because I learned that abuse equaled love. And I can recall that this particular person actually locked me in the house and wouldn't allow me to leave. And the last incident for me was when the police came over. I had to call the police, and they came. And the police said that either this person, he said, I've seen situations like this so many times before in the past. This person wants to end up killing you or you'll leave. That's the only two options you have. You have to leave or this person will kill you.
Wow.
And I kind of, not at that moment, you would think at that moment I would have packed my bags and left, but I still wanted to love this person. I still wanted this person to love me. And so I felt like, okay, well, they'll change. And so often we as women feel like we can change our partners. There's something that we can do that will allow them or not allow them to hit us or abuse us. And so I had to realize very quickly that there's nothing I can do to stop this person from abusing me. This is who they are. This is embedded in them, and unless they decide to change, they're not going to change. And so I had to, you know, leave, eventually leave and learn how to take back my life.
So let me ask both of you ladies a question, because what I'm hearing from Triana that she had, there was a pattern here, because she said when she was young she was abused. She thought that was normal, you know, and so she carried that on. And you kind of did the same thing from 14 to 17. So we can say that the person being abused has a learned pattern of behavior that they've deemed acceptable up until a certain point.
Well, it's definitely a learned behavior. That's what that's the energy we need to put out there. Because, and we're learning it again at the household. A lot of things are learned inside the household. There's
true.
Some things that go on in our environments and in our communities as well. But remember, we're the household going out into the community. We're the households at the grocery stores, you know, at the schools and stuff. So a lot of things we learn at home and at our dinner table. And we learn verbal abuse. We learn at 1 and 2 years old how to say the S word, how to say the B word, how to say the N word. We learn how to say it very young. We learn how to accept abuse very young, because, hey, mama accepted it or daddy is accepting it.
Right.
And that's what we do in our household. When you talk to people, they say, that's what we did in our household. That's what we do in our household. You don't hear people saying that. So, and that's tradition to them. That's tradition to their household. That's what they learn. But we gotta change that. We gotta break that cycle and let people know that this is now right. Well, we've been raised up on those concepts. What goes on in my house stays in my house. Little children ought to be seen and not heard. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never kill you. All of those concepts are wrong, and they are bad for the African American community as well as any community.
Wow. I totally agree with you, Queen. It's because going back to what you said about breaking the cycle, for me, I had to make a conscious decision to break the vicious cycle. It was a vicious cycle that was going on with me. My grandmother was abused, and she was financially abused and verbally abused, and then my mother was verbally, physically, and financially abused, and then I was all three as well. And I had to decide, before I had bring a child into this world, I need to break the cycle. I need to start learning to love myself. I need to start saying that I'm worth more than being in this relationship. I'm worth more than just trying to be loved by someone. And it wasn't really even really love. It was just wanting someone to want me. And so I allowed myself to stay. So I definitely agree that we have to break the cycle, because this is what we're taught. And we're also taught, like you all said earlier before I came on, not to say anything. I remember that the last time my stepfather broke my arm and I had to go back to the emergency room, and I remember my mom saying, I'm not taking her this time because I'm tired of answering the questions. And they kind of coached me at what to say to the doctor. Tell this doctor this, tell him that this happened and that happened. And so when I went to the doctor, I was coached of already what to say, because we're taught not to open our mouth. Even when I went to school, the teachers that I could have, you know, told what was going on, I was taught not to open my mouth. I was taught not to say anything. And then also as children, we're taught that we don't have a voice oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Our voice doesn't matter, but nobody's going to hear us anyway. So we have to teach our youth, and as goes along with breaking the cycle, that you have a voice, and it needs to be heard, and it should be heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And she basically just said everything that I said, but I said it in those little sayings that we say in the African American community. And Trey, if you go back and think about something, you said you wanted to be loved through your story. You wanted to be loved, but that's not what I see. I see tradition again, because it started with grandma, then it started with your mom, and then it went to your life. It was tradition in your family that this is what we do as women. This is what we do. This is a symbol of somebody caring about us. Whether it could have been. It may not have been in a relationship. It could have been, man, you at the grocery store or somebody walking up on you. This is how we talk to each other. This is what we do in our family. So it's normal. It's very normal behavior. And when we do something different, it's not normal. Like when you took a stand and said, I'm going to break the cycle, probably to a lot of family members, it wasn't normal for you to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And going back,
you know,
to
so part of it is tradition, because we learn these things in our household. It becomes traditional for us.
And we find a lot of family members going through the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. That's what makes it tradition for us. And we have to break that. We have to break that. And the way to do it is, like my sister said, speaking up, taking a stand for yourself and saying, I'm not going to be the one to go through this no more.
Exactly.
Yeah, the cycle has to stop and because it's just perpetuated. And just real quick, I know of, in fact, within my family, where there's a generational abuse, you know, where I can see I had a cousin who was abused. She got married. She was abused by a parent. Then she got married. She married an abuser. He beat her black and blue. Then she not only was abused, but she also abused me as a child, right? Not only that, then her son now becomes an abuser to her. So I look at that cycle, and I'm like, that is vicious. That cycle of abuse. You know what I mean? And then that North Carolina Southern way, keep quiet, don't tell nobody. The way that they found out that she was being abused was that a nurse at school, she happened to be in the nurse's office, and the nurse noticed that she was all bruised up. And had that not happened, she might be dead.
Exactly.
Right. And little do they know, do we know nurses and doctors, even mental health professionals like myself, we're all trained to see these kind of things. You know, the first thing they want to say is the child told, and everybody trying to figure out who told. But doctors and so-called medical specialists are trained to see that these kind of things are going on, you know.
Yeah,
and then we got children going back to the household getting beat some more because mom and dad think that they told CPS, you know. So it's a whole, that's, it's just like what I said, domestic violence wears many tags.
Absolutely.
So true. Going back to what you said about once the CPS worker tells, you know, goes to the family and they find out what's going on, the child goes back and gets abused some more. I've witnessed situations like that. And working in the family that I work with Beautiful You, is that someone, you know, we have called CPS to save the child. They send the child right back into the same predicament, and then the child comes back with more abuses. Or a situation that we had here in D.C. and Southeast with a family lady. She was living in the house with the three bodies of her children.
Oh, that was
and the family fell these kids, not only the family, but the system fell these kids.
Absolutely.
And we deal with this all the time.
Yeah.
And someone had to see something.
And neighbors should have known.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and see, that's the thing. Now, one thing I will say, when I was a kid, and I used to, like I said, I grew up here in Southeast Washington. And when I was a kid, the whole neighborhood would spank me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew what I was. When, you know what I'm saying? So
everybody
one thing
knew
I know,
what was going on.
Everybody knew what was going on. And they were not too proud to deal with. Now, even though now I know that some of the women may have been getting abused, but you just wasn't going to be dead in no house. You know what I'm saying? You weren't going to be... we weren't going to smell you up the street, the whole house. You know, there would have been some concern if I didn't come outside and play, even if I wasn't getting beat in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Like, I say that all the time, that how did this happen to these kids? There's so many different stories that we can talk about in Washington, D.C. alone. Felicia Rudd, for example. That's another situation that we can talk about with the system failure. So I think that's something that we can definitely delve into as well.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Queen Afee. Queen Afee is the founder of Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. We're also with Treyana Kelty tonight from the founder of Beautiful You. Yes, you will be right back with these powerful women.
Yeah.
Hey yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could have killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
demon. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is surely not. You need to elevate and find. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think?
It's been a really good conversation thus far. Actually, it's been a really good month. Right, we've been talking about domestic violence all month, and it's been a blessing to have all this this dialogue and for people to be able to hear, because they can know that first of all they're not alone, and that you know, there's plenty of people out here that can relate, and we want to let you know that there's plenty of people out here that you can go to for help.
That's what's up.
We want to give you some numbers to some hotlines in case. You know, you are in a situation where you are even questioning whether or not you're being abused, you know. If you're not sure, you know, these people can help you answer that question. But first of all, I'm going to say that if you're questioning whether or not you're being abused, nine times out of ten, something is not quite the way it should be. So I would say give these people a call, the numbers that we're about to give you. Give these people a call. It's anonymous. It's 24/7. You'll be able to talk and express yourself freely and, like I said, anonymously and confidentially. So, you know, just so that you can know that you're not alone. The first number we want to give you is the National Domestic Hotline number. That's 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233 or 799-SAFE. That's the National Domestic Hotline. If you're not able to call, but you can actually go online, you can go online to that same name, the National Domestic Hotline.com, and it will give you the same information and help you be able to connect with somebody that way. There's also the Office of Women's Health Organization.gov. They're open actually only from 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, but they have a slew of people that can help you there. The phone number for that is 1-800-994-9662. That's 1-800-994-9662. And for our younger audience, we have the National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline. We wanted you guys to know that there's a number out there for you to call also. That's 1-866-331-9474. That's 866-331-9474. And that's the National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline. Again, we wanted you all to know that, you know, domestic violence wears many hats. You know, it comes in all shapes, sizes, forms, colors, domestic, physical, verbal, mental, spiritual, financial, you know, and you can call these people, you can talk to these people about any of these things. And if you have any questions about whether or not you're being abused, we need you to remember that you are not alone, it is not your fault, and that help is available, okay?
Wow, man, thank you. Thank you so much for that information. Again, this has been like a really, really, really nice vibe tonight. I'm your host, Rasp. We've been in the studio tonight with Queen of Fee, Triana Kelty, two beautiful, two powerful women that's making a difference, you know, bringing light to some things that have been so quiet for so long. And I just would, you know, ladies, I want to thank you again for being here and being unashamed to talk about it. You know, me and my wife, we have this thing. We say, let's talk about it. And I'm so glad that you two are brave enough to talk about it. What advice would you give to someone that's being abused right now, either one of you, whoever goes first and second? But, you know, that's important that you share that tonight, you ladies.
Well, for me, this is Triana Chelsea with Beautiful You. I learned not to tell people to leave. I learned not to say, well, you need to get out of that situation right now and just leave the house. Because oftentimes they're saying, leave, but go where? Where can I go? Can I come home with you? Can I stay with you? So I oftentimes just learn how to give people resources. They learn how to be a listening ear. I also have learned how to help find housing. So if you are leaving, if you do want to leave, and now is the time for you to leave, I help them find the resources and housing through Beautiful You, Yes You, because it's so easy for us who are on the outside looking in to say leave. Everyone was telling me, just leave. Leave her. Why are you still in the situation? And I kept them like, well, how am I going to leave? Are you going to help me? Like, what's next for me after I leave? I feel like that person was my world. So if that person is gone, then my world is gone. So don't just tell me to leave. Help me. Give me resources. Be that listening ear. Show me what to do and give me the first step of how to leave.
Wow. That's powerful. Wow.
This is Queen Afee, founder of Domestic Violence with Many Tapes organization. I want to second that notion as a mental health professional that we don't want to tell victims to just leave, okay? It's very dangerous. The chances of them dying goes up 75%. So what we want to do is, like my sister said, give them resources that you think that can help them. And the National Hotline for Domestic Violence is very good for women, but it's no help to men. We want to be mindful that you can always use Queen Afee, Q-U-E-E-N-A-F-I, all one word, and I'm reachable. I want to be reachable for the community, so I like to give my number out, 202-821-8933. Also, keep in mind is that we have so many different types of relationships now. We have same sex that abuse is happening there. We have heterosexual that abuse is happening there. So we want to keep that door open and be acceptable to anyone, woman, man, chick, child, boy, whatever, that's going through a domestic violence relationship and turn them over to professionals that you feel could be a trusted advocate for them and someone that's going to see them through the process. As well as Queen can see people on a one-on-one basis. So just keep that in your back pocket as we move forward in this fight against domestic violence.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. This has been so rich. I know that you have a conference coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that conference?
Well, yes, Beautiful You, Yes You has partnered with some organizations and Queen Afee, of course. We cannot have a domestic violence conference without Queen Afee.
Yes,
so we will be talking with ladies here in Washington, D.C. There's two conferences. There's one on Sunday, October the 26th, and one November the 8th. We will be talking to the women and young girls, not just women, because we want to catch the young girls early. About domestic violence situations, giving them resources, allowing people to tell their story. The conference is actually called This Is My Story, because so often we as women and men as well feel like we are suffering in silence and we're suffering alone. No one will understand my story. And so often I used to tell my story, this is my story of abuse, this is my story of domestic violence, not knowing by me telling my story that helps somebody else as well. So we come up with the conference that this is our story, and we come together as a unit collectively to enhance, empower, enrich the community in which we are working and show self-love and self-awareness. And I'll let Queen speak about her part of the conference as well.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely come out and bring the noise.
that domestic violence with many tags, and we're going to break this thing down. We're going to get into the tags, and we're going to have fun with it. It's such a serious topic, but we're going to have fun with it, and folk are going to leave out of there educated and inspired, and we're going to educate. You know, the bottom line is we got to educate. That's what's going to break the cycle, the education piece, and keeping it real and transparent and answering the why questions for our young people and our community as a whole. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to chop it down. So I hope y'all coming out to take part in this.
Hey, you know I'm there. I'm down for that. And can you give us your contact information again?
Yeah, Queen of Fee. I'm on Facebook, Q-U-E-E-N-A-F-I, all one word, Queen of Fee. And my number is 202-821-8933.
And Triana, can you give us your information?
Yes, it's Triana Kelsey, or as everyone calls me, Miss Tri, and it's Beautiful You, Yes You. It's the letter U, not Y-O-U. So Beautiful You, Yes You. And our website is www.beautifulyouyesyou.com. Our phone number is 202, area code 413-4083. Again, 202-413-4083, and we're here to build a foundation, which we believe is self-awareness, self-esteem, and self-love. And within that comes talking about how to avoid getting into a domestic violence situation, how to learn how to love yourself, and how to come into who you really are.
Wow, that's great. I would like to just give a shout-out to my producer, Simply Nay, for the opportunity, hosting this one, Mike Stan. So You Think You Know What Women Want. We have real topics. You know, we like to bring meat to the table, and we like to also, you know, just give people some help where we can. Now I got my, you know, my co-host here, Mel, who I thank, you know, just for always saying yes and showing up. You know, Mel's an actress and a comedian. She has a couple plays coming up. I'll let her give you her contact information. Mel's also a bartender. You know how artists are. We do it all, you know. Go ahead, Mel. I'll let you
do. That's true. That's true. I'm a jack of all trades, master of many. Okay? Master of many. No, I do. I wear a lot of hats. I'm a bartender. I'm an actor, a comedian. I do a number of things around the city. And I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be a part of the show every week. I'm grateful that no one else is available to do this, so I have to do it. Nobody else wanted it. Nobody else wanted it. I wanted it, and it's a blessing. So, you know, I'm going to continue to be in rap company.
All right, man. You know I love you.
I
want to thank everyone for calling in and join us here every Sunday, 8 to 9, holding it down in the nation's capital. So You Think You Know What Women Want with your host, Rash, bringing it, and Mel.
Your co-host.
Bringing it. So we'll talk to you guys next week. God bless.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him. That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your teeth was growing from a
demon. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind.
myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kids? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did, but came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby, ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life, and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said, just for him, I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you and I want you dead. Don't know the facts, but I saw the blood pour from her head. See, I lay down beside her in the hospital bed, and about 2 hours later, doctor said she was dead. Had the nerve to show up at her mother's house the next day to come and pay your respect and help the family pray. Even knelt down on one knee and let a tear drop. And before you had a chance to get up, you heard my gun cop praying to me now. I ain't God, but I pretend. I ain't start your life a nigga, I'ma bring it to an end. And I did, clear shots and no regrets. Never cops come and lock me under the jail. Nigga, whatever, my bitch, fuck that, my sister. You can never figure out, even if I let you live, what our love was all about. I consider her my blood and it ain't come no thicker.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind.